on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday, North America. The mothership has connected. From Frederick Key's old house to the Boston Harbor. From Tucson, Arizona to Toronto, Canada. From Kalamazoo to Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
We're coming to you live from me and Bogus's studio here. How are you doing?
How are
CBS
you doing?
Sports, right? We're doing well. It's Mraz. It's Bogus. It's a July 3rd, and what is going to be an interesting week, and a cast of thousands working with us today. Ryan Betcher.
I liked Ryan from yesterday.
No.
That's how he referenced him.
No. Ryan, this is rarity. 3 minutes in, I'll allow you to turn on your mic. What is your last name again?
Botcher.
I said Betcher because it's spelled like James Betcher, the old defensive coordinator. Ryan Botcher. He just made a mistake that cost me 10 years of my life. Do not shake your head and say, whatever you want to call me. Because then you end up with Esmeraz for 10 years. Let them get your last name right. Okay? Only now in my move that is 2 weeks away over to WFAN am I getting my last name back. So don't. You tell me what your last name is, okay? Young man. Am I wrong, folks?
No, I mean, if there's one thing you can teach the youth of America is how to not get a nickname that will carry with you for a decade until 100%. You get a promotion and they can't tell you it. To get rid of that nickname.
I had to reintroduce myself to my kids this weekend.
Yeah.
EJ's with us as well. Pete's hovering around the mothership somewhere. He's probably getting his 14th tee. He just stood up out of nowhere. And Brooke, the intern, back. Welcome back, Brooke. How are you?
Done backpacking through Europe. We finished last week with like 8 people. I think we have more now. We lost DA, gained me and you. Yeah. Pete's back. Ryan from yesterday is still here. Brooke, plus Emmanuel's on updates. And who knows what's going to show up. This is great.
It's a lot of fun. So we're going to have fun. So this week on the doll, we'll set this up before we set up the show. DA, who came back off paternity early after the announcement that I will be leaving the show.
Blue collar.
Came back to work last week with us. He is back on paternity all week. I think he's attempted to take the kid to Rhode Island. Bless his heart.
They're there.
They made it.
Okay. How long it lasts.
But you know what's weird? DA's taking like cryptic pictures. Was that a lobster roll from 2 Rhode Island trips ago? Was it this road? I don't know.
It seems like a touchy subject. But he and the Bourbon Bell are living in this weird, alternate universe with time. You're right. Like everything has been cryptic, not necessarily specific. There's like, is that rose from yet now or from last spring? And I once had a Narragansett beer. Maybe I'm having it now again.
I had no idea. I'm like, is it that sunny up there? I don't know. I was trying to look at weather patterns.
Right. It's like a weird version of like being in like witness protection. Like he exists. We can't know where he is at any given time.
It's a peculiar situation. It's odd. But hey, that's
DA. Why would it be simple?
That's Dame time, as we'll get to in just a second. Okay, so DA out all week. Bogus and me here with you today. Tomorrow we will be off celebrating America's independence. And like true morning shows, we will also be off the 5th because who the heck wants to wake up?
Yeah.
As I did this morning after watching fireworks until 10:30 at night. Not going to happen. But we will be back with you on Thursday, Friday. Next week, I am off for a week. And then the final swan song of, you know, goodbye to this version of the DA show with me on it the week of the 17th. So there you go. You've set it up, or as I like to call it, 7 more 4 a.m. wake-ups.
I just realized something.
Yeah.
Brooke's been in Europe.
She has no idea I'm leaving. Do you know I'm leaving, Brooke? No, okay.
The one person.
I'm leaving 2 studios down. But
the
anyway.
One person doesn't know.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah. So, Brooke, happy internship. The show's getting broken up.
Thanks for nothing, Brooke.
All right, we have plenty to get into, but as a result, the reason I wanted to set up that it's 4th of July week, I mean, you guys are no strangers to that. This was always an iconic week on the DA show. In past years, DA would not take off on this week. We had been through Wienerships. If you don't know what that is, it was our classic hot dog eating contest here. We've had awkward moments throughout the year. So not one, but two, as we're going to do these look backs on some great moments and memorable moments, I guess, surrounding me, which is weird to say because usually DA is setting that up. We will have 2 today. If you don't know how Badlands Booker became such a big part of the DA show, competitive eater, Major League Eating, the whole deal, how he ended up at Bob's Bar, we will go back to his debut in Wienership 2 from July 1st, 2014. We will play that back in the fourth hour of the show. Next hour of the show, a moment we've talked about forever. There are a few banned people from the show. One of them is Joey Chestnut. At 7:20 a.m. Eastern, we will play back the moment that should remind everybody tomorrow when they sit on their couch or outside, wherever they digest the hot dog eating contest, why America should be rooting against Joey Chestnut. We will play back that moment at 7:20 a.m. Eastern. Sound check mixed in. We're going to have a lot of fun with that. DeSean Jackson apparently hates Chip Kelly, and we have no idea where he said it. But we begin now. There was EJ.
Is that a shot at EJ?
No, it actually wasn't. I was hoping to make EJ laugh, which I did. We begin now with NBA free agency and the rumor mill and the trade rumors and everything. So outside of Elon Musk trying to keep us from information in both the NBA and NHL this weekend, my fat ass cut the lawn on Saturday morning, all right? I'm sweating. There's a house diagonal across the street from me for sale, so there's like a line full of people. So in typical me fashion, I took my shirt off and cut the lawn, send the message. You got to be dealing with this.
Were you announcing your name somehow? These people could come over and go, hey, I know you.
Nope.
No?
I was hoping to scare
anybody. It's me, Sean. Weekday afternoons, the fan.
No.
Did you call Tiki really loudly from the front lawn?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. So, anyway, thank you.
Did any Giant fan recognize your front stoop as the one from the week one video?
No. Okay. No, we didn't get that. Okay. Although we might be getting a stoop soon, so I might be signing wooden planks of that and giving them away.
All right.
Anyway...
This looks familiar. Why? Have I been here before?
So I'm cutting the lawn. I have headphones in. I'm listening to whatever the heck I'm listening to. And then I get in the pool. And I got to be honest with you. I had worked so much, I forgot that like NBA and NHL free agency was going on Saturday. So it got to like 3-4 o'clock when I started loading Twitter and seeing everybody complain about Twitter. And I'm going, oh, wait, all this is going on at once. So obviously you get caught up in the rumor mill. And the biggest story happens to be from a player who's not moved, but we believe now finally will be moved. The future of Dame Lillard. It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Back to Grant. Dame will sprint out on the sideline to get the rock. High dribble into the lane, running right-hander up and in. Damian Lillard with that runner. 71 points, a career high.
Dame badly, badly wants to win. And he's probably being more vocal about that than ever, but I don't look at that as a negative. I look at that as he's passionate about this. It matters deeply to him, and it matters deeply to us.
With an opportunity to perhaps win the game. Remember, it was Simons who won the game against Phoenix. He rises and fires and scores! Damian Lillard! Yeah, that's what he's saying. It's Dame time.
If one of those trades went through, out of those teams, which one would you be like, that's not too bad?
Miami, obviously. Miami is the obvious one.
Hitting the home run, as I said, it's addition by subtraction. And so you can go out. We've done this. We played this game for, 27 years. And some of them we hit big. And I plan on hitting big again. But I'm not just swinging for the fences right now because it could be reckless, a little bit reckless. And after this year, I feel very good about where we are. But also, I agree with you. We need to improve.
I'll put it this way. They basically have loaded up one of those pods dumpsters in front of the Trailblazers and said, take anyone out of here you want besides Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. Maybe they'll go back and forth on Caleb Martin a little, but it's basically sort of come in, pick and choose, tell us what you want, anything else is yours. Mm. The Heat are all in on this. This is their moment.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Okay, the Blazers general manager Joe Cronin back on June 23rd. Bill McDonald via Spectrum Sportsnet. Brian Custer and Damian Lillard via the Last Stand podcast. How about that for Custer? That was on June 7th. Pat Riley on June 20th. And then, of course, South Florida Sun Sentinel Heat reporter Ira Heatbeat, Ira Winderman via NBA TV. So here we have it. we kind of wondered after the NBA draft and the Scoot Henderson selection, would Damian Lillard continue to be Mr. Loyal in Portland and go forward here with Scoot Henderson, where he'd ask out? He ends up asking out this weekend. Let me just say this. First, for starters, how about applause for Damian Lillard? Because there's certain ways to handle it, certain ways not. Seven-time All-Star, seven-time All-NBA, all, you know, NBA 75 team. We all know the accolades with Lillard. Could never get to the ring. Furthest he got was the Western Conference Finals. Ran into, obviously, great Warrior teams, which were going to prevent them whenever he was paired with C.J. McCollum and what the Blazers tried to do. You know, in this day and age of the NBA, it's rather refreshing that Damian Lillard stayed loyal for this extra couple years here, where we thought maybe at 30, 29 there a couple years ago, he was going to bag out. And only now when, you know, I think everybody obviously sees the changing landscape of the West, sees Lillard at, what, 32, going to be 33 in another couple days, and understand that by the time the Blazers are truly ready to compete again, I mean, what Lillard's going to be 35, 36? And then it's a ticket. He doesn't owe the Blazers anything. He's given them all of these great years. As I said, the seven All-NBA years. This is totally fine and totally acceptable. However, the Blazers, though, at the same time, there is this thought, if the Heat are the leaders in the clubhouse, they don't have the draft picks to give away, which is why you're going to have to find a third team to get involved. You heard Ira Winderman there. You know, Tyler Hero's a guy who clearly feels like he's going to have to get moved. Kyle Lowry's a guy who feels like he's going to have to get moved. But they don't really have all of these draft picks that, you know, the couple are going to have to be involved to get this. And look, should Lillard get the haul that Kevin Durant got? Probably not. But he's certainly worthy. This team needs to use this piece in Lillard to build up their foundation. So it'll be really interesting. This might have to be a three-team deal, a four-team deal. There are other teams that could get involved, but the leader in the clubhouse does feel like the Miami Heat. And oh, by the way, if he does land with the Miami Heat to go with Bam Adebayo and to go with Jimmy Butler, how do you then not consider them the favorite in the East? They just got to a finals.
So certainly kudos to Lillard for being as loyal as possible, but I do wonder if he waited too long to realize that it wasn't going to work in Portland, because, you know, we're on multiple GMs, multiple years, and multiple trades. They tried to make themselves better around him, and it never worked. And then the last straw was keeping that third pick and then not really diving headfirst into free agency on Friday. So Saturday morning, he goes, I'm out. You just said he's about to turn 33. It's not old, but it's also not young.
Yeah.
If he does go to Miami, I like the idea of Jimmy Butler becoming the second best player on a really good team, and maybe they are the best team in the East.
Yep.
Fine. But he's also not 29 or 30 when he could have been asking out, because I feel like everybody else has known it wasn't going to work in Portland before Dame did. So I just hope he didn't wait too long to realize he had to go somewhere else to get this done.
I hope so, too. But regardless, I think he will end up in a fine enough spot. But I think the spot has to be in the East, though. I really do. I believe it has to be in the East. The last thing he wants, if you're getting out of Portland, is to go deal with a West. He's not going to end up with the Suns. He's not going to end up with the Nuggets.
But people keep mentioning the Spurs.
Yeah, that he's fascinated with the Spurs.
Okay, which, fine.
You're just going up to play with Wembanyama when you just got Scoot Henderson.
Right, which is, right. It's almost the same thing as Portland. Unless he knows other guys will join him in San Antonio, and that's how they'll all reconvene there with Wembanyama.
Or thinks Wembanyama is going to be great right away.
But it can't be San Antonio. As much as you might love Popovich and the culture or whatever, it can't be there.
I don't think so. And let's not forget, who knows what Portland might leak here as part of this, too, because they're going to need a little more leverage than just Miami is the only team that's going to swing for them.
Right.
So 855-212-4227. The number again is 855-212-4CBS. I tell you what it does do, and this is very inside radio-y.
Mm.
This is going to go on for a little bit. I don't think it's going to get done today or whatever, so it gives us topics until football.
Yeah, I think this and Harden, which we'll get to this morning as well, are nowhere near being done quickly.
It'll be the summers of Lillard and Harden. And we'll get into Draymond Green, Kyrie Irving, some of these other re-signings that actually probably were more interesting than signing elsewhere, if that makes any sense. Elsewheres.
Yeah, it's not a word, but that's fine.
Elsewheres.
Yeah.
Sound like a grandfather.
You do.
I'm going to go elsewheres with this. All right, when we come back, though, Bogues, how about your best audio of the day? I mentioned DeSean Jackson. No respect. No respect for Chip Kelly. And I'll share a fun anecdote about Chip Kelly that we've probably told before, but if you've never heard it, it's interesting. It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color. An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Let me just say this before we start Soundcheck. I went to the breakfast well a little earlier than I had a rough night's sleep, up late with the fireworks. I'm not going to give away the name brand, but I just had, let's just call it one of these healthier versions of cereal that's come out lately that's ultra expensive. Boy, does my brain feel activated. Oh, man, is that
welcome.
Feel good. That's good. Good protein cereal.
We were discussing this the entire break, and now I think I actually might have trashed this trend, or it has definitely come up before.
Where cereals, this kind of cereal that's supposed to actually have like benefits to you
right.
eating is way too expensive?
Yeah, that yeah. is if you want to have it more than once a week, all of a sudden yeah. you're going to be bankrupt. Because it seems like there's not a lot in the box, and the box is like 10 oh. bucks a shot.
Yep, $10 a box.
So in a hurry, you're done, you're still hungry, and out goes another 10 or 20 bucks.
Yeah, but delicious.
It's delicious.
And I feel great. Like you saw me, like the first, I was laying, and I feel activated and ready to go.
Brain turned on. You said something very funny and hopeful.
Brain activated.
Yeah. Here we go.
Here we go.
Smart Sean in effect.
Let's go. I think I just saw a piece fly out of my microphone. Anyway, let's start with Draymond Green, courtesy of Bleacher Report. He lists his top five trash talkers in the NBA.
Top five trash talkers in the league. Yours truly, number one. Let me not give an order, because who cares about the order? Myself, Patrick Beverly, still give it to KD. KD still talk a lot. Russ still talk. My fifth one, I got to go with Chris Paul.
What do you think makes a good trash talker?
You got to have facts, man. You got to be willing to cut deep.
Boy, you see how he snuck Chris Paul in there?
He knows.
He snuck Chris Paul in there.
Has to.
That's the whole key to the whole clip. Because you had the, you know, him basically saying he doesn't know Chris Paul well, but he couldn't stand him a couple years ago. So now, in a complimentary way, is one of the top five trash talkers as he goes back for 4 years on 100 mil. The Draymond, I fought with Jordan Poole and I'm out of the teammates to fight with. I better show that I like everybody and I respect them. Oh, and this is where I've ever come to be brought up. This is genius by Draymond. Now, next year in camp, if any reporter brings up Draymond's past comments on Chris Paul, Draymond can... But this is why I couldn't say it was in a good way. He's one of my top five trash talkers in the NBA.
Now, how far do you think he would go with this? If you asked him top five centers, would he somehow finagle CP3 onto this list?
Probably.
To keep being nice to him?
He'll be top five guys in the NBA who could play baseball.
Right. Okay.
Top five guys would be perfect with Big Baby in a landfill.
Ooh. I mean, it makes sense, too. CP3 is so big in the desert.
Top five guys that could do as good a job as Ryan Boettcher on their first day on the board.
Definitely CP3 on there.
I can't call him Boettcher again.
It's fine.
Boettcher. I can't get James Boettcher out of my head, the NFL defensive coordinator.
Shocking that you're stuck on a ridiculously bad Giants defensive coordinator.
By the way, Ryan Boettcher going Metallica t-shirt today after the Jurassic Park one last week.
And then, was there another one we couldn't figure out? I think maybe your first day, when you were just training with Pete, we weren't sure what the shirt was. But this is a good collection.
It is. Yeah, and he, by the way, also wanted to tell us he didn't always shop at Hot Topic, and I'm starting to get the vibe he only shops at Hot Topic.
Feels like that. Spencer Gifts, maybe, as well.
He has a chain hanging from his wallet to his jeans.
Newberry Comics?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You know, those checkerboard shoes?
Oh, yeah.
You know, those slide-on ones?
All right.
Yeah, where you color in a couple of those boards.
And it's better than Pete.
Oh, yeah. What, Pete and the Tyler McGill hoodie and khakis?
Right.
Yes. Exactly, as he pokes his head up.
Sure, I was like the Mets bullpen coach back there. All right, so here's the clip. We don't know where it came from or when it happened, but it's DeSean Jackson with no respect for Chip Kelly.
I don't respect Chip Kelly. That's just what it comes
I think he's a man.
I don't like giving them clickbait or whatever they want to call but I'm a real one, and I just speak on it, bro. What he did, bro. You could talk to anybody that was ever a Philadelphia Eagle fan, bro, and they'll tell you the same thing. He dismantled that team, bro. There was no way you get rid of a DeSean Jackson, a LeSean McCoy, a Michael Vick, a Jeremy Maclin, on and on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, really broke down the team, bro, and we were Philadelphia.
Okay. May I first?
Please, the floor is yours.
Chip Kelly was a terrible NFL head coach. It was right idea, bad execution. Chip Kelly had kind of like a revolutionary style offense in Oregon going back 10 years ago. He was a hot commodity. It wasn't just the Eagles that were interested. It felt like he might be the next big thing. And like all of these guys, right, we always see Rule's another one. The college coaches seemingly fail constantly in the NFL. But think about the names DeSean Jackson just talked about dismantling. The Eagles, at the end of Andy Reid and the Chip Kelly, had some really good players. But, you know, sometimes you got to say goodbye to certain people. First of all, Jeremy Maclin never became the first-round receiver at a Mizzou. Fine, never great. DeSean Jackson, electrifying player for the Eagles. But kind of look at when the Eagles got rid of him. You know, he bounced around a little bit. He still had that speed ability, but he was never like a star player again. Shady McCoy went to Buffalo and was fine for a year or two. But we're seeing this with running backs. I mean, do you keep pounding and paying a running back? I kind of understand what the Eagles were doing there. And who else did? Oh, Michael Vick.
Michael Vick.
What did Michael Vick do? What, he went to the Jets and Steelers after that?
Yeah.
I mean, let's not pretend like they broke up the 85 Bears and these guys all went on to have great careers. In fact, DeSean Jackson saying that makes me feel like, wow, that might have been the smartest thing Chip Kelly's done.
He lost me at a Jeremy Maclin.
Yeah, like, I mean, come
Maclin on. Maclin was always cuttable, was always expendable.
Maclin was a borderline bust. I mean, if Maclin wasn't drafted in the first round, you'd be like, okay, fine. But for a first-round receiver, what are you kidding me?
And good job by you getting an 85 Bears reference in without
DA. The show bingo. And let me just say this about Chip Kelly. This is why Chip Kelly will always be near and dear to my heart.
Oh, that's right. You promised us this.
We've told this story before, but the day or the night that Aaron Rodgers told me to get away from him when I showed him a half-naked picture of me covered in birdseed.
Still don't know why he did that.
One of the people who was standing in the circle encouraging me to go speak to Aaron Rodgers and do that was Chip Kelly. Who, if I saw Chip Kelly in the street today, would have no idea who I was. So we go to this bar. It's Final Four weekend. But it's not like a party in Scottsdale. It's like, I forget the name of the bar, like sawdust on the ground. Like it was like, if the Final Four wasn't there, you'd be like, wow, okay, this is kind of a shady bar. But for some reason, people knew people and DA knew people who knew people and everybody kind of migrated there. So Rodgers pulls up. He's there. Chip Kelly is there and he is, and this isn't a knock, I mean hammered. Hammered. I witnessed how many Coronas he could drink it down. Corona was his beer of choice. And he swore to DA for three straight minutes that they've met each other a bunch before. And DA was like, I would know if I met Chip Kelly. He's like, no, I know you. And DA's like, no, we definitely, like, I know I would have met Chip Kelly. He's like, no. And DA was like, does he just watch NFL Network all day long and knows me from the top tens? So Chip Kelly basically talked to nobody but like new people that DA knew and just stood with us the whole time drinking and would just like kind of like Hank Hillish mutter words every couple minutes. It was like, this is such like a bizarre anecdote to a night in my life I'll never forget. And when everybody was trying to encourage me because we had all had a few cocktails to go show Aaron Rodgers the picture, it was Chip who basically was like this whole girl, yeah, you know, what was that, Boomhauer from King of the Hill? That's basically like it was. And I went over there. So Chip Kelly will, and that night we said goodbye to Chip. We got in an Uber. We ended up in a Jack in the Box. We've never seen or heard from Chip Kelly again, but that night he swore he was our best friend.
So do you believe he doesn't remember because he was that drunk or because he's Chip Kelly and he has other memories that would have jumped that night?
I would hope both.
Because I might believe that if he was normal Chip Kelly and you went back with the Rod, like you came back and told him the end of the story,
he might know
that he might remember you.
Maybe. I think this was just when he got fought. It was whatever that Final Four was with South Carolina, made it with Frank Martin.
Okay.
So you'd have to look up the year if he was still coaching the Eagles or not, but that was when it happened. He might have been just fired recently or something.
So drinking off money for not working.
Yeah.
I like
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Weird night. Very weird night. All right. Finally, speaking of the Eagles, first posted by Eagles Nation on Twitter, Jordan Mailata sang a great version of a Stevie Wonder song at a wedding. That is excellent.
It really is.
So let me just say this. Isn't She Lovely by Stevie Wonder is one of the top 100 songs of all time. It just is. It's so perfect in so many ways. I don't know whether it's a TV commercial, whether it's a Sunday morning starting your car, whether it's just, you know, moving around the house. It plays on an Alexa while you're vacuuming.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't She Lovely is just a song you can't help but just smile and kind of snap your fingers to. And My Lotta, I mean, the voice of an angel. A lot better than some of my Canadian Bacon songs, wouldn't you say?
I mean, better than all of them?
Yeah.
I would say. I'm watching the video now again, and he's singing this while his wife and I guess her dad danced too. He didn't sing to her.
Wow.
So is that good?
So that was this My Lotta's wedding?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
He's sung it at his own wedding, yeah. Not as a guest of a wedding, while the bride father dance happens? Well, you know, I gotta be honest. Let me just say this, as a father of two girls now.
I'll say it first. I feel like I'd feel upstaged as the father of a daughter.
That's
I'm just my girl,
say.
And you're stealing the spotlight by singing over my shoulder.
EJ, get Brooke on the microphone here. I got to ask Brooke about this, okay? Brooke, our intern. I am a father of two girls who I hope it is a long time before I see them get married because that means my life is flying by, okay? But I have already thought about, like, this moment. I got to be honest. And you're a father of a girl.
You got to keep a running list as possible songs.
You've thought about the moment.
100%.
Okay? And there are moments I'm walking the dog and a song might come on. And I'm not going to lie. I get a little tear in my eye.
Mm-hmm.
It's daddy's little girl. Now, Brooke is our intern here. Brooke is a young adult female who... Brooke, I'm sorry to put you on the spot here. Are you close with your father?
Yeah.
Okay. Now. One day, you get married. You're going to do the father-daughter dance?
Yeah.
Okay. How would you feel if your husband, who might have a great voice, was the one singing the song you and your father sang to? Is that a little upstaging, or would that be something you'd be into?
I don't know. I think it's fine.
Fine?
Yeah.
All right. See,
I feel like it depends, though. Like, he has to have a really good voice.
Well, and that was a good voice. Yeah. I agree. So you can't
make it was something like that, it'd be fine.
You can't make a comic event of it. But, do you think your dad would like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think so.
Okay. I got to be honest, Brooke. I think I'd hate it for my kids.
I think that's kind of nice.
You know, I've spent my whole life, though, wanting the attention on me.
Right.
That's probably my last moment to have the attention on me. I don't need my daughter's husband singing songs.
But I feel like when the husband is singing, they're not paying attention to him. They're paying attention to you guys dancing.
See, I disagree.
You might be paying attention to you dancing.
Right.
Everybody, and by the way, everybody's listening to my, especially if he's an NFL player.
He's already in the NFL, so he's already the star of the show.
Yeah.
Now he's up there singing, and whenever you say, the dance with my daughter was so beautiful, I loved it, and they're going to go, and Jordan was singing so well. Like, it's always going to be attached to the story of the dance. Now,
I don't like it.
It'd be awkward if you like sat your daughter down and like serenaded her in the middle of the dance floor, all romantic and whatnot, but it's still better than this. Like, this is my moment. Shut up, Jordan.
Isn't She Lovely? It's a great song. Something tells me My Lotta can sing other songs. Later on, break into karaoke if you want on the dance floor. Give me a Don't Stop Believing by Journey. I can't. I'm sorry. That's a moment for a father and his daughter. Now, Brooke, apparently her and her dad would be into this.
All right.
Who knew she was going to marry somebody from American Idol? Not me, though. Not my kid. Thank you, Brooke.
Yeah, no.
That was a good perspective. See, the female says she's in. I'm out. All right.
I have a feeling Pete feels strongly about this.
Yeah, where's Pete? Pete, pop your head up back again.
He's already shaking his head no.
No. Pete just had a daughter. Okay. He could pop up. EJ's sharing them. Look at this. We are just shuffling microphones back here behind.
Take your time, Pete. We're in no rush.
Yeah, Pete, no problem, man.
Just
talk
stretch,
to Ryan a little
Pete,
more,
stretch.
Bud. All right?
Stretch.
Enjoy. Look at him. Pete, you're a new girl dad now. You're a new girl dad. Okay?
Yes.
Have you thought about this moment yet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Pete's already, and the baby is 5 weeks old?
Yes.
Would you want this?
I wouldn't mind it.
Wow.
I would have thought you would have been on our side times a thousand.
Well, if William Hung was singing it, then no.
So you need a quality singer, then you don't mind sharing the moment with him.
Yeah, that's fine.
But if it's the husband, he's already taken your daughter from you.
Well, that would show another dimension to his character.
Would it matter
another
what
dimension to his character? It's the most Pete line of all time.
It would.
Would it matter what team he played for? If he was a Giants offensive lineman or a Patriots old lineman, would you care then?
No, Patriots, they wouldn't be allowed in the door.
Okay.
Let's just say that.
Interesting. I don't know. I'm going to have to talk with my kids when I get home. No singers. They're out. Go marry a mechanic. Get my oil changed for free.
No, you can.
Or a lawyer.
Yeah, you can sing, just not when I'm dancing with my daughter.
Yeah, or don't sing well and then just not. Yeah.
Or singing the cocktail
hour.
There's
a million windows to sing at your wedding, not right when I'm dancing with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's my last chance.
Right. She's gone after that.
You should pop out of nowhere, except on the dance floor. Pop out of nowhere in every situation there is. The cocktail hour, bus.
Are you guys going to cry when that moment happens?
Yes.
You cry?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be a disaster. And that's the thing. You don't want to be crying as the guy who's married to your daughter singing. That's horrible.
That's a part of the whole thing, I think.
As he's singing, I'm crying?
Yeah. That's a natural instinct, I would believe.
Not when another guy's singing. It's just, he's done enough.
You're thinking about the daughter.
Let's go a step further here. He's Jordan Mailata. He makes a lot of money. Get me actually Stevie Wonder. Make that happen. Bring Stevie out to sing lines with my daughter. Then I'll love you forever as a son-in-law.
Then I marry him.
What an Eagle-heavy sound check, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Jalen Hurts, by the way, is wearing a mint green suit at this wedding, so even the Eagle theme of his wardrobe.
And that's it, though. That's also taking away from the bride in her moment. You can't be wearing a mint green suit to a wedding.
He looked good, though.
And having all the eyes on you. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. He's a handsome dude. I wish I could pull that suit off, but there's zero chance.
By the way, you think Mailata could be the lead singer of the Eagles? Emmanuel is on updates today. Hello, hey. Emmanuel. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. So how about you? Would you want that if you were dancing with your daughter?
Yeah, I don't mind. I think you're reading too much into the emotional stuff.
You guys have no idea.
Natural reactions.
Do you have a daughter?
I do not.
We'll check back in later. Idea.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah, and Pete will change his mind.
I can't weigh in here.
You guys have no idea. And I'm going to tell you right now, Brooke's dead wrong, too. Dead wrong. Her dad would hate that. Hate it. Go on. What do you got?
All right. Baseball announcing its all-star rosters last night. And the Braves are sending 8 players to Seattle. That's a franchise record. And it makes sense. They have the best record in baseball, 56-27. And speaking of 8 all-stars, yesterday they made it 8 straight wins.
Alcantara delivers. Swing and a drive to right field. That's got a chance to get out of here. Soler at the wall. It's gone. Home run, Ozzie. Braves lead 4-2.
Ozzie Albies, the go-ahead 2-run homer in the 5th inning, his 20th of the year. Jim Powell on Braves Radio. Well, there we go. He's one of those Braves all-stars. 6-3 the final. Braves swept the second-place Marlins. So Atlanta, a 9-game lead in the NL East, largest in baseball for manager Brian Snitker.
That's the one meeting I always look forward to. I have a lot of meetings over the course of the time, and you don't really look forward to them, and you're nervous about them. That's the one you always look forward to. And to tell those guys, you know, when I went in with that big stack of and invitations that they have and told them. That was pretty special.
That's got to be cool as a manager. Brian Snitker, 8 invitations to hand out to the All-Star game. So Atlanta leads all of baseball with 8 All-Stars. The Orioles were staring at getting swept by the Twins, but rallied for 2 in the bottom of the 8th, held off the Twins 2-1. Reds won another series, 4-3, the final series finale against the Padres. So the Reds, leading the NL Central, they've won 8 of 9 and 16 of 20.
It's incredible. They didn't cool off after that Braves series.
Nope. And it's not only like Ellie De La Cruz. Tyler Stevenson pinch hit 2-run homer yesterday, gave him the lead. So
they're just loaded with young bats. And by the way, outside of the Braves, them and the Diamondbacks right in the mix here.
Dodgers aren't any good this year.
Yeah, right. The NL, the Braves just feel like it would be a shock if they didn't make it. But, I mean, how the Reds almost got to the point in a bad Central because they played so well of late. I mean, they're right there.
Stars are kind of aligning because the best team normally doesn't run the table.
Yeah, and I like their pitching. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel
their pitching's kind of bad.
Kind of doesn't matter because the Braves are that good.
Right.
Yeah, but is baseball a crapshoot or not?
I mean, it's a crapshoot, but I'd like the Reds to have a starting pitcher that I could really rely on in a series to get through.
They're going to go get Scherzer.
Okay. Great.
Eat all the money?
Yeah.
You've seen him the last 2 postseasons, right?
I'm kidding.
Okay, good.
The Cardinals took 2 out of 3 from the Yankees. 5-1 win in the rubber game. Jordan Montgomery, 6 2/3. 1 unearned run against his former team. Outdueled Garrett Cole. Brewers 6, Pirates 3. Nationals edge the Phillies 5-4. For Washington, Stone Garrett, nice name, grand slam in the third off Ranger Suarez. AL West battle in Texas, Astros topped the Rangers 5-3. Chaz McCormick, the go-ahead three-run triple in the eighth. The Rangers, by the way, six All-Stars, most of any AL team. In Toronto, Alex Verdugo.
La-dee-da.
It's not funny.
Was that La like L.A. La? Is that, how did we get there?
I don't know. I was just making a joke that they have six All-Stars. I was seeing if everybody was paying attention.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Emmanuel looked at me so dumbfounded.
Well, this is the problem again. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what it is. Is it a joke? I can't tell.
I just had my cereal, and I just saw a bogus tweet. This Emmanuel, did anybody get a cupcake from Amy?
No.
I did not get one. No.
Okay, so Amy Lawrence, we'll continue your update in a second. Just no bring me up as I'm looking at Twitter. Amy Lawrence tweeted that she came in, that she baked Funfetti cupcakes, and she had some to share.
Yeah.
She works with exactly one person on her show, James Boccioni. One.
We have not the nine we have.
Pogish, me, Emmanuel, Pete, Ryan, EJ, and Brooker here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's seven. Not that Amy has to bake for any of us, but if I read somebody say that they're coming into work and they've baked and they have some to share, and you work with exactly one person, I didn't see her leave with a thing of Tupperware.
Nope.
I didn't see a single cream on anybody's lip.
Nope. And Boomer's not here. She loves Boomer. Sometimes she gives Boomer little gift basket things.
Where are these cupcakes?
I don't know.
And if you say you have some to share, does that mean two?
And she normally
Is that normally considered?
Right. And she's normally very generous. Usually there is a Tupperware or a pan somewhere, and it's have these. In fact, she wants us to try her baking
Amy's
normally.
Amy's an unbelievable baker, which is why I kind of got excited on
Me
the drive.
Me too.
And look, if she only had a couple and I got, but how could you work with one other person, say you have something to share, and we don't see a single morsel?
It's literally the first thing I did. I walked in, put my bag down, stuck my head around the little corner where there's glass into the studio, looked for the Tupperware so I could grab one, didn't see it. Talked to her too. Had a personal conversation with her at 5:55 in the changeover. Didn't mention cupcakes.
Interesting.
And then their show account retweeted my tweet celebrating cupcakes, but no cupcakes.
Boy, how many gummies did James Boccioni have and went into a big munchie
or no comment?
Here we go.
In Toronto, Alex Verdugo, ninth inning solo shot off Jordan Romano. Red Sox swept the Blue Jays on the road 5-4 the final. Angels 5, Diamondbacks 2. Shohei Ohtani is 31st homer, 454 feet. He won't be an all-star snub for manager Phil Nevin.
What he's done and what he's meant to this team, obviously it's immeasurable. He's been big for us, and the best part is that these guys are having fun doing it, and he's playful with his teammates, and he's really having a good time out here.
So interesting. Aaron Judge had 30 through 86 games last year. Ohtani has 31 through 86 games this year.
Yeah, and by the way, now Ohtani should win the MVP. The Angels are right on he's the home run leader, and they're in the mix for the playoffs.
And if he had 65 home runs,
they're not dead last, and another guy has a home run lead. Right, exactly. Okay.
Royals crushed the Dodgers 9-1, took 2 out of 3 from L.A. Speaking of the Dodgers, Clayton Kershaw headed to his 10th All-Star game. He ties a franchise record. Tigers out-grand slammed the Rockies 14-9. Javi Baez a grand slam in the first. Jake Marisnyk a grand slam in the eighth.
Wow.
White Sox 8.
They must like eating at Denny's.
8-7. Mariners 6 unanswered beat the Rays 7-6. Josh Naylor 2-run single in the 10th.
Ryan Cardi doesn't know what to do.
8-6.
He's just looking back at God. To Pete for guidance. Is that a joke? Is there a tuba? Where's Morty? He's already broken.
The Mets 8, the Giants 4. Pete Alonso is 25th homer. He'll be back in the home run derby so he can join Ken Griffey Jr. Only 3-time winners if he gets it done. And you guys got to the NBA news. We can save that for next hour.
That's a pro. Boyle would have got to Wimbledon by now. Thank you very much, Emmanuel.
Do you see what you've done? This has been my point for weeks. When you give us 97 of those jokes in a 4-hour show, no one knows when to laugh, should laugh. And Ryan just looked at Pete, what do I do?
Right.
Ryan
took his earpiece out and he pivoted behind him to Pete, who Pete's observing his training, and went, was that a bad joke? I should have played the trombone before?
What's Denny's?
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what that means? Grand slams and Denny's? I missed that. Was he serious? I couldn't tell if that was a joke. Okay, tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to wear my Pantera t-shirt. Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. He laughed like that was true. How'd he know? He is a genius.
All right, when we come back.
What kind of cereal did he have?
Did anybody see Chicago yesterday? Should NASCAR do more of that? It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
More laughs per capita than any other sports radio show. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA Show, Mraz and Bogus here on this July 3rd. All right, folks, yesterday I thought a really, really cool event for NASCAR. So I personally would have hated this if I lived in Chicago because they've closed down streets. I happen to work with a couple people in Chicago who over at BetQL, and they were saying it's basically been a traffic nightmare in the city. So for those that don't know, NASCAR, instead of going to a normal track, like F1 or some of these other like European
races. Yeah, I mean, this is a definitely like direct response to F1's popularity.
To do one of these like street races like you'll see in Europe. So, I mean, think of the city in Chicago. Like this was legitimately, you know, down a couple of these main roads and they've shut down streets and the whole thing became a circus. But, you know, I saw a couple people that had gone to this, seemed like a cool event. It ends up being, on what was a rainy day in Chicago, a smash hit. And Shane Van Gisbergen ends up winning. And now why that's relevant is he's a New Zealand driver who's been used to driving some of these European, you know, slash Australian, New Zealand
street circuit
races. So he comes over and he wins the race over, and this is a regular NASCAR race, beats some of these NASCAR drivers. He was plus 600, by the way, to win the race. He had shocked everybody finishing third and qualifying earlier in the week. But I found it cool. I found this really interesting. And you're right, part of the appeal on some of these other motorsports is the idea, like, it can get very boring looking at an oval track. Let's just be honest. You get the overhead, like, Daytona's cool, but, like, there's not a lot of uniqueness. Maybe some backdrops, Poconos, you get the mountains in the backdrop. Right. It's very standard. This was like you're watching the sights and sounds. So, and I made a point to catch some of it yesterday.
It was cool when you reminded me that it was happening. I had forgotten that it was happening. I remember when they announced it. And
so when I said the topic, let's realize, boom,
That's today. Okay. And I saw a tweet from somebody like, it's raining, we're going to be back at this time.
Yeah.
And it said like the Grand Park 220. And I should have realized what that meant, but I didn't. So it took you reminding me that it was on. I threw it on. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the clip of this one in particular wreck where like 12 cars just kept plowing into each other over and over and over again in one turn.
It's insane.
So, I mean, it was good. I don't know what the ratings are going to be. It certainly seemed to have more kind of social media engagement than a normal NASCAR race would have.
TV rating-wise, look, it's happening on a Sunday before the 4th of July. A lot of people are out doing stuff.
Right.
But social media, maybe that's what you judge it by. I thought it was unique. And NASCAR needs to be more unique. Yes.
100%.
Yes, exactly. So, very cool moment for NASCAR yesterday. All right, we come back. Hour number two. It'll be hour number one for some. Is there any chance Kyrie Irving remaining in Dallas works? It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
More laughs per capita than any other sports radio show. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA Show, Mraz and Bogus here on this July 3rd. All right, folks, yesterday I thought a really, really cool event for NASCAR. So I personally would have hated this if I lived in Chicago because they've closed down streets. I happen to work with a couple people in Chicago who over at BetQL, and they were saying it's basically been a traffic nightmare in the city. So for those that don't know, NASCAR, instead of going to a normal track, like F1 or some of these other like European
races. Yeah, I mean, this is a definitely like direct response to F1's popularity.
To do one of these like street races like you'll see in Europe. So, I mean, think of the city in Chicago. Like this was legitimately, you know, down a couple of these main roads and they've shut down streets and the whole thing became a circus. But, you know, I saw a couple people that had gone to this, seemed like a cool event. It ends up being, on what was a rainy day in Chicago, a smash hit. And Shane Van Gisbergen ends up winning. And now why that's relevant is he's a New Zealand driver who's been used to driving some of these European, you know, slash Australian, New Zealand
street circuit
races. So he comes over and he wins the race over, and this is a regular NASCAR race, beats some of these NASCAR drivers. He was plus 600, by the way, to win the race. He had shocked everybody finishing third and qualifying earlier in the week. But I found it cool. I found this really interesting. And you're right, part of the appeal on some of these other motorsports is the idea, like, it can get very boring looking at an oval track. Let's just be honest. You get the overhead, like, Daytona's cool, but, like, there's not a lot of uniqueness. Maybe some backdrops, Poconos, you get the mountains in the backdrop. Right. It's very standard. This was like you're watching the sights and sounds. So, and I made a point to catch some of it yesterday.
It was cool when you reminded me that it was happening. I had forgotten that it was happening. I remember when they announced it. And
so when I said the topic, let's realize, boom.
That's today. Okay. And I saw a tweet from somebody like, it's raining, we're going to be back at this time.
Yeah.
And it said that the Grand Park 220, and I should have realized what that meant, but I didn't. So it took you reminding me that it was on. I threw it on. I'm sure a lot of you have seen the clip of this one in particular wreck where like 12 cars just kept plowing into each other over and over and over again in one turn.
It's insane.
So, I mean, it was good. I don't know what the ratings are going to be. It certainly seemed to have more kind of social media engagement than a normal NASCAR race would have.
TV rating-wise, look, it's happening on a Sunday before the 4th of July. A lot of people are out doing stuff.
Right.
But social media, maybe that's what you judge it by. I thought it was unique. And NASCAR needs to be more unique. Yes.
100%.
Yes, exactly. So, very cool moment for NASCAR yesterday. All right, we come back. Hour number two. It'll be hour number one for some. Is there any chance Kyrie Irving remaining in Dallas works? It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.